Thank you for the kind introduction, City Limits. You've become a wonderful man at the age of 23.
A young buck.
Yeah, speaking of young bucks, that's a great segue. Jared Jones last night, I mean, this is just, speaking of flames, the lyrics we just heard, this has set social media aflame here. 59 pitches, 50 for strikes. I mean, it was unbelievable to watch. Truly, for pitchers his age, I might put that performance up with any performance that has ever happened. I mean, it was ridiculous what he was doing. We all know he was taken out of the game. Here to talk about that, as City Limits just explained, Dan Zangrilli, whose opinions I respect as much as anybody about the Pirates. You hear him on pre and post. So, Dan, let's just, before we get into the whole conversation, let's try our best to establish a couple of facts. And I've read now this morning, like, did hours worth of reading on the alleged epidemic of pitcher injuries and why they're happening and what all the pitchers and managers and data people and everybody else say about it. And my brain is spinning. So let's establish a simple fact. Travis Sawchuk recently tweeted, "There is no Tommy John surge this spring. It's always this bad this early in the season." They have a chart where way back in 2000, the year 2000 through 100 days of the season, there were 10 Tommy John injuries. This year, there's 9. So I ask you first, are we truly looking at an epidemic here, like relative to the 21st century, or is this just the way it's become?
Joe, I haven't seen that report, but you've got my attention on it, and I admire and value most everything that Travis does. Obviously, I know him well from his time at the Trib as a Pirates beat writer, and he's, you know, a two-time best-selling author on this game. So he's about as dialed in to anyone, especially on this matter. So I'll take that, obviously, as fact, and that's interesting because the overarching narrative is otherwise. And I largely agree with taking care of pitchers, with spin and velocity and the explosiveness of what guys are doing on the mound being at an all-time high, I largely think that is physically unsustainable, and inevitably your Spencer Striders of the world and more likely than not, Jared Jones one day and probably sooner rather than later is, I hate to say it this curtly, but blow up. That's just the stark reality of many pitchers, especially with the stuff makeup and the profile and even like the body type of Jared Jones. And I'm certainly not into the biomechanics as much as the Pirates are. I subscribe to workload management and being judicious and never, ever want to throw caution to the wind. But yeah, last night was tough to stomach. And I think I'm being kind when I just say it that way. It was disappointing and disgusting, in fact, and probably as frustrated as I've ever been in 12 years being on the air doing these pre and post game shows.
The thing about it, Dan, is, you know, if it was a pre, you know, what did they say? It was prearranged that this was going to happen and all that.
And
other
that's
stuff.
My biggest issue.
Right.
Paul.
My thing is, once he's rolling like that, let him pitch. The next outing, save innings, or, you know, cut down the number of pitches he throws. I mean, I don't like the idea that we go into a game basically saying, regardless of how well this guy is pitching, we're going to take him out because of some arbitrary number. It makes no sense to me.
Paul, this game of baseball is always going to be more art than science, which, ironically enough, science, I think, has proven over time, because I love the science element of the game. So I'm not like this get-off-my-lawn guy uphill both ways. I don't really want to see the game turned back to, like, 1985 magically. But, again, this game is always going to be more art than science, and science has proven that. So for you to go in and then thinking and acting otherwise with predeterminations, I think that's malfeasance, because based on what you have just said, you've got to be able to watch the game, have a feel for the game, be able to read the room. That's part of the art. And I understand that, you know, there's a science element to this, but you can't allow the science to overtake the art. I mean, I love the quote If you want to make God laugh, you tell him your plans. Well, guess what? If you want to make the baseball gods laugh, then go ahead and tell them your plans. And karma is undefeated and untied, 150 years worth of a sample size in this game. And don't you find it ironic that the go-ahead run in this game was determined on a balk that we've never, ever seen? The go-ahead run was balked in. That's the baseball gods talking for what the Pirates did, in my opinion.
Here's the way I'm... There's so much to talk about here. There really is. There's so many sides to this. Dan Zangrilli is on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing HVAC provider for over 50 years. Here's where I ultimately land big picture. I was a big proponent of drafting Paul Skeens. I think he's going to be great. But I'm reading now that if you keep Jones to, what, 100? He had 126 innings last year. Let's say you keep him to 150. That's 5 innings per start. Skeens, they're babying, and I understand it. To a certain degree, they're babying him at AAA. What's he going to be when he comes up here? A 5-inning guy? If that's the case... If that's the case, whether I agree with it or don't agree with it doesn't matter. But I would say this. I never would have drafted him in the first place. Given the number of injuries these guys have, given the way that you're superseding winning a game with babying them, don't draft him then. Give me Wyatt Langford. Give me Dylan Cruz. Give me a guy who's going to play 9 innings 140 times a year rather than one of these guys who, even if they're having an epic game, can't decide it. It's not worth it. Give me the position player, Dan. That's what I feel like now. And if I could go back, knowing what I know now, what I'm seeing now, I wouldn't have taken Skeens. Give me the guy that's going to play every day.
There's a lot of people that I think subscribe to your theory. I'm not one of them, however, Joe, because I still would have drafted Skeens if I could do it over again. Because I just think that, especially for an organization like the Pirates, it's the only way that you're going to be able to obtain or even sniff this sort of talent, and it's through the draft. So that's sort of where I fall on it. But, I can largely sympathize with where you're at, and I think there's a lot of other baseball executives.
How much of an impact can he have in 5 innings per game, Dan? That's my question.
And I think it's eventually going to grow, and so too will the Jared Jones workload. Again, I don't throw caution out to the wind, but my big issue with all of this is the predeterminations of things. And listen, there were times, I mean, his last start, he pitched into the seventh inning. He's gone into the sixth in his other two and through the sixth in the middle starts. So he's going to be going 7 innings here. And I think tonight would have been, or last night rather, would have been one of those instances to do that. You just have to pay the bill on this with a pause later in the year or skipping a start. Or, which is more likely than not going to happen, is he's going to get shelled one night and he's going to throw 2 innings. And I think that workload, which, by the way, the workload with the 59 pitches, he was largely in the windup. He only had one base runner. It was rather relatively low stress type of work that he was doing. And oh, by the way, what if Brian Reynolds, as he should have, caught that ball off the bat of Pete Alonso in the second inning, which went for a leadoff double? Reynolds more often than not catches that ball. We're worth talking about taking Jared Jones out of the game with a perfect game. That's where the Pirates were within a foot of that situation be occurring to occur. Well, imagine if that were the case.
Well, I mean, I think the thing about back to Joe's point a little bit, the model has been at times going out and basically building your team, your position players, but. When you have a team that's getting ready to win, go out and sign pitchers like the Cubs did a few years ago. The problem the Pirates have is they can't do that. They don't have the money to just go out and spend money on guys like Skeens and, looks like Jared Jones, who are the kind of guys that you need to win. So it's a catch-22. I understand where you're coming from, Joe. I understand where you're coming from, Dan. But the Pirates have to take chances on a guy like Skeens and hope that he stays healthy, because they would never be able to afford a guy like Skeens 5 years from now or 6 years from now.
Yeah, no, I agree. And listen, what the Pirates are doing, I don't think is anything differently than what the rest of baseball is doing. And that's the issue that I have with baseball. It's just the lack of touch and feel and the game plans and the scripts and the predeterminations and the inability to call audibles at the line of scrimmage. And What sort of effect does that have on the individual? And what sort of effect does that have inside the Pirates clubhouse? From everything that I've been able to hear, that's a frustrated clubhouse from what occurred. Even though they may understand the calculus of this, we're going to be raising a generation of George Kirbys. Remember him, the Seattle right-hander last year, who was just lamented and drugged through the street because he said, you know, I should have never been out there for the seventh inning, almost as if he didn't want the ball. And I don't think that that's the Jared Jones mentality at all, but this sort of kind of creates that kind of culture because you want guys to get out there, grip it, rip it, and to go as deep as they possibly can. And when you line them up for their lobotomy, I mean, like, what in the world is going on here? We've lost our collective minds, and this comes from somebody, again, who subscribes to pitch counts, workloads, innings limits, and very much is, I think, in tune with the stark reality of what's going on in baseball and how you have to handle guys. I'm just saying simply, you've got to pay that innings workload bill a little bit later, and that may be with a skip start or a truncated outing when the game situation dictates.
Don't you think a skip start every so often, especially with days off and, you know what I mean, you can go to a six-man rotation. There's a lot of different ways you can, in the middle of the summer, play games where you could take away a start or two from Jared Jones. I would much rather do that and just basically say he's going to be able to pitch every game. We're going to let the game dictate the situation, rather than this stuff where arbitrarily this is the game we're going to decide he's only going to pitch five innings.
And there's going to be nights where he throws two because he gets absolutely rocked, and he throws 35 pitches, and for whatever reason, hitters are getting their foot down, and, you know, the wind's blowing out or whatever it may be. Then your opportunities, yes, to your point, Paul, will present themselves, as in baseball they almost always certainly do. This sort of kind of levels itself out over the course of 32 starts, 162 games. So, yeah, the opportunities, I think, will be there. Rather than trying to, with these man-made initiatives and predeterminations, that's one way to get yourself in a lot of trouble, I think, with the baseball gods. And karma bit them in a big way last night. And I hate to ever say this, you know, being on the broadcast for 12 years or whatever it's been. I mean, the Pirates deserved to lose that game in many respects. Would you agree?
Yeah.
I mean, just based on karma alone and trying to mess with the game like that, more often than not, it's going to bite you and you're going to get a result like you got last night.
I think they deserved what they got for sure. Because to me, the other part of it is they should have, and again, it's not, this is, I think, one of those things where we're not necessarily ripping the Pirates as much as this, the way pitchers are handled in general in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, it's a state of the game.
You know what
right
I mean?
Today.
It is, absolutely. I mean, you know, obviously the Pirates are the team that are here that we cover, that we're the flagship for, so we watch all of their games, but I guarantee if we watch other teams, you know, they pull the same stuff when it comes to pitchers. I just think that, to me, when you have a predetermined that this team, that this pitcher can only go this many innings or this many pitches, when you've predetermined that, you've basically clipped his wings in some ways.
Again, I'll go back to the second inning. Joe, Paul, what if this guy had a perfect game? He had perfect game kind of stuff.
He basically did.
And numerically, he is historically good. This was one of the historically better outings ever. An 85% strike rate. I mean, we could go into the data even further and what he's been able to do. He's been historically good. And I understand proceeding with the utmost caution and being as good a steward as you can of this incredible asset. Like, they're being very judicious, but almost overly so, to the point where, I mean, they frighten themselves out of a victory. And
I mean,
in this National League Central Division,
yeah,
I mean, it is going to be so tight, I think, from bell to bell. You have five teams capable of winning 80 or more games, and I do not suspect at all that there's going to be a great deal of separation between first and last once we get to the end of September. It could be 7 to 10 games between the first place and the last place team because everybody is fairly balanced, and I don't see one particular team that's head and shoulders in the NL Central over the other.
Dan Zangrilli on the Sullivan Super Service fan hotline. So, yeah, these guys are on innings limits for the whole year, obviously. I don't know what Jones will be, but again, if it's, you know, he pitched 126 last year wherever he was. If it's 140 innings and you want 25 more starts, that's five innings per start. Schemes we've already seen, and I'm just very, very confused on why he's wasting his bullets at AAA. Listen, if you're willing to live with 59 pitches from a guy who's having a historically great start, then bring up Skeens and have him throw his next 55-pitch outing up here. Why is he doing it down there? He's on a limited count here.
So I actually agree with getting him acclimated to a professional schedule, and I believe that there's big merit to that, pitching every fifth day, which he's really never done. He didn't do much of that last year. Anything that he did in pro ball was largely ceremonial. There's a big difference, and guys will tell you, admittedly so, from pitching once a week in college to, you know, just from everything in between starts, all of that, you know, your bullpens and flush runs and all the routine is something that really, I mean, people might roll their eyes at that, but it is real. And for Skeens to get on one of those schedules and adapt to it and learn how he is able to acclimate is really important. And listen, I'm all for innings caps, pitch counts. I think I've said that many times. And the same could be said with Skeens. So I think those are two little different scenarios in Skeens and Jones, and I don't look at them necessarily in a vacuum so much, but I just wish there'd be a little more nuance, guys, in this one. And last night there was none of that.
Dan, we appreciate the time. We'll look forward to listening to you on pre and post with the Pirates. Thanks, man.
Thank you, guys. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.
Well, I was sad and then I loved you and it took my breath. And now I think you love me and it scares me to death. Cause now I lie awake and wonder, I worry, I think about losing you.
Listen, I completely understand the idea of wanting to protect these guys' arms. And we haven't even talked about why we think that more guys these days, and I would include going back a number of years, are getting injured. This season is really not an anomaly if you look at the numbers, but the 21st century is, compared to what it used to be, of guys going down with injuries. And like I was telling Zangrilli, Paul, I was reading for hours. I woke up early today, like extra early. I was going to talk about this last week with you, but this week now we have to, and I wanted to get educated on why these injuries are happening. Like, what's the reason that so many guys these days go down with arm injuries? Like, it's almost expected. I think Sawchuk put out that, like, 37% of pitchers in Major League Baseball right now, which is an astronomically high number, have had Tommy John.
Right.
So what's the reason? I've read where they don't rest enough in the offseason or they rest too much in the offseason. I read where they're overworked as kids, or they don't stretch out their arms enough as kids to where they're ready to throw more innings when they grow up. I've read that it's the pitch clock some players complain about. I've read that it's too many breaking balls at a young age.
Right.
Breaking balls in general, these new designer pitches. I've read it's about velocity, too much stress on the arm all the time. This is the one that makes the most sense to me. Where nobody's really, and Verlander talked about this, nobody really pitches to contact anymore because ever since they changed the baseballs, contact often means a home run.
Right.
So it's a swing and miss game, which means you have guys like a Jared Jones who throw to maximum velocity and maximum spin on every pitch like a closer. And they're starters looking for only for swing and miss, but I'm more confused than when I started.
Well, here's the thing, Joe, to your point. The Travis in that article that you're talking about has a chart, right?
Yeah.
Okay. This year in the first 100 days of baseball, there have been 16 pro you know, which means at all levels, 16 guys have had Tommy John surgeries in the first 100 days of baseball.
Yeah.
In 2021, there was 47. 2018, there was 40.
Mm-hmm.
2015, there was 39. It really didn't start. I mean, for there was a there. You want to talk about a rash of injuries? It was 2014 to 2021.
Yeah, and even like I said, going back to 2000, there were 17.
Right.
Of these things.
Right.
In the first 100 days, 17. This year, there's 16 across pro baseball. So it's like it's definitely a modern day thing, but it's not a this year thing.
Now, the one thing I will tell you is I think some of the posturing has come from Major League Baseball Players Association because they're setting it up for the pending collective bargaining agreement over the, you know, which is not for a couple more years, but
yeah,
they're kind of laying the groundwork that this is going to be some sort of bargaining chip or bargaining point.
Now, Jason Stark writes, and this is the bottom line, is that this would be like every time people freak out when a bunch of quarterbacks get hurt, there's a bunch of star pitchers that are not pitching right now, from Gerrit Cole to Ohtani Yuri Perez to Bieber to Strider. That part seems to be an epidemic where I don't know that I've seen this many big-name guys out, and that ain't good for baseball. I do get that.
Right. Well, my point is that's really what is the story, is that it's big name guys.
Yeah.
If it was nine nameless, faceless, just normal pitchers, nobody would care. Nobody would be talking about it. But the bottom line is the agents and Major League Baseball's Players Association, they've been pushing this idea that this is a problem.
Do you believe it at all, the players, when they say pitch clock has contributed?
No, not at all.
There is some sense there to me that, as I was reading, it was a pitching coach from somewhere, I can't remember who said that, it just makes sense that when you're a rest and recovery athlete, like, you know, you're used to a certain routine where your body recovers, and then every pitch is like an event for
right,
your body.
Right.
That cutting that down could lead to some. But he wasn't buying fully into that either. Like maybe it's not a great thing for pitchers, but it can't be leading to all of this.
Right. No, I mean, come on. They've had pitch clocks in the minor leagues for a long time, though, Joe, for a number of years. All of these guys have grown up in the minors with pitch clocks. So to your point about the calendar, Is 30 seconds or whatever, is it different when you get to the majors than when you get to the minors?
If you had to pick one reason for this, the one reason above all, like I said, mine is that I'm with Verlander, that from Pee-wee, Little League on up, it's about throwing as hard as nobody's pitching anymore. They're throwing like closers. It's all about swing and miss because there's so many home runs.
Yeah.
You're not going to have a job or a future if you pitch to contact. Because contact means ball over fence. So you're going out there with maximum spin, maximum velocity, and that creates arm issues.
The one pitch that you have to explain to me, because I have read it many times, and I don't even understand what it is, that why it's different than a slider or a curve, is the sweeper.
Yeah.
They're saying that the sweeper pitch is a big problem now. Because the sweeper apparently puts some kind of strain. What is the sweeper?
There was a guy.
Is it a curveball?
I don't know. Curve and slider mixed. I don't even know. Don't quote me on that. But somebody with a long history in the game, in charge of pitching staff, said these designer. You know what he said? He said we've reached what?
A sweeper tends to be thrown slower than a traditional slider, which gives it more time to sweep across the strike zone, where the average Major League Baseball slider breaks about 6 inches. The average sweeper breaks about 15. So it's essentially a slider that slides a little bit further.
Yeah. So this guy.
Yeah, but apparently that's putting strain on
sure.
arms.
He said we've reached the point where when we go to do an MRI on an injured pitcher, we look at the injury and say, oh, this guy must have been throwing that particular designer pitch. Like, it's wild to read some of this
stuff.
So everything, I think analytics and all the advancements have actually hurt pitchers rather than helped them.
Yeah. I mean, again, I love the phrase designer pitches. That's tremendous because it's so true.
Let's go to the phones, shall we? Limits, tell us who we have. And by the way, you're doing a wonderful job. I don't mean to ignore you at all. I feel like you've been ignored today, mostly by Paul.
Yep.
Paul, do you want to apologize to City Limits?
Nope.
Welcome back, Paul.
Go ahead.
We have Anthony in South Park. He's actually a Mets fan and was appalled by what he saw.
Hello, Anthony.
How's it going, guys?
Good.
Big fan, first time caller.
Thanks, man. What's up?
Hey, so originally from Queens, moved to Pittsburgh about 15 years ago. So always supporting the Pirates, but at the end of the day, Mets are my love, sadly. But watching that game last night, right, you knew it. The stadium knew it. The Mets knew it, right? Nobody was going to touch him. He was unbelievable stuff, unprecedented stuff. But it was just a matter of time that he was going to come out of the game, and you knew it was going to happen, right? So it's almost like, I mean, you want those five innings or four innings, whatever he's going to be able to give you, but it was just a matter of time, and it's like everybody in the stadium knew it, no matter how electric he was, and it's crazy. It's almost a different game.
Yeah, I mean, I think the thing is that the metrics of it, as we talked about, make no sense to basically say before the game, this is how many pitches this guy is going to be allowed to pitch, because you just don't know what the game situation is. Obviously, he was really in a groove. He was pitching well. You know, there's another start coming up that you can, you know, bump back a couple of days if you're really that concerned about keeping his pitch count on track.
Appreciate the call. The Joe Sucks guy is texting again?
He is, yes, emphatically.
Emphatically?
Emphatically. About 10 Joe Sucks texts on the text line.
Think about, I don't know whether this is funny or tragic, but think about the tragedy of a man sitting home on a day like this, typing into the station, Joe Sucks, repeatedly. It's almost disturbing. It's like Wesley Snipes and Robert De Niro in The Fan, isn't it?
Over 10 times.
Yeah.
I mean, it's really... really a tragic story. Should I text this guy back and ask him if he can do an interview or write the story of his tragic life?
If you'd like to.
I've often said that, Joe, like when I'm sitting around, you know, and there's
people, nothing better to
there's
do.
People that, and what's even worse, there was one guy, Joe, I actually blocked, right? And like a day later, a new handle came up, a new name that had just joined that day or whatever. I literally blocked the same guy.
Yeah.
Who kept creating a new Twitter handle just to try and troll me. I had to have blocked him like literally 15 times in 20 days.
No, this is like Ace Ventura. Remember how obsessed he was with the kicker?
Yes.
He would write that graffiti on his wall and stuff like that, and he had a little pinata that he would throw stuff at and things like that. I mean, this is borderline tragic, although it's also kind of funny. Anyway, man, all of this has me thinking about the value of taking a guy number one overall if he's going to be handled to this extent. Somebody else texted him, Paul, said, what if they did make the playoffs? What if Skeens comes up and he's really good and Jones is unbelievable and they both reach their pitch limits in, you know, it's getting September and you're deciding whether or not to pitch them in big games and then you get to the playoff. What do? Shut them down for the playoffs?
Right.
Sorry.
Right. And that's and as crazy as it sounds, that scenario isn't that far out of, you know, bounds, really.
It's unknown to any other sport. The handling of pitchers, and I'm not saying that I wouldn't be paranoid as well if I drafted a power pitcher or had an incredible, you know, well, both these guys were drafted. Skeens was one overall. Jones was fairly high as well. But if it takes this degree of micromanaging and this degree of preventing victory,
right,
like last night, then how is it worth it to take a guy one overall? I don't understand how you're getting full impact from
I think
compared to a Wyatt Langford who's going to play 140 games the whole game.
Yeah, but I would say that the key there is you have no chance if you're the Pirates of signing a guy like Skeens. I mean, you can sign free agent pitchers, but, you know, in Skeens, you have a guy who absolutely has what it takes and might actually become your ace and maybe a Cy Young-type pitcher. Those guys you couldn't afford on the open market.
For sure.
If you're the Cubs or the Yankees or the Dodgers, it's different. You can go out and get those guys all the time. So I actually,
but between the risk of injury and the micromanaging,
I agree.
Is it going to be worth it 10 years from now?
I would also say, well, you know, they're taking a shot at it, I think, is what they're looking for. You know, hey, if it pans out, we're going to have, you know, our ace or whatever. So I'm just saying, to me, it makes sense if you've got a guy like Skeens who has a chance to be something really special. Yeah. But for the most part, I agree with you, Joe. I don't know that I would take a first round pitcher, unless it was somebody like Skeens that I'm getting one who's, you know, looks like a stud.